So my respected friends and brothers, if the ibadat is used, is done, and it is done correctly, then it is a means of a person gaining all the benefit which we just made mention of. But the beauty of Islam, my respected friends and brothers, is this, that Allah Ta'ala has not only left benefit and acquisition of benefit in carrying out ibadat. The beauty of Islam is this, that a person can also gain closeness and benefit and barakah and blessings through doing worldly efforts and worldly activities. Activities that are normally regarded as mundane, you know, all related to the world. If a person carries out those activities which are required by him out of necessity, for example, you know, to earn a livelihood, for example, or to get married, to live with children, and all these type of things, these are things that a person needs. It's part of his, you know, human necessities. But in the acquisition of that also, my brothers, a person can get the same and a great amount of sawab, closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not, this is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of Islam. So we don't confine our lives to, you know, when I'm making ibadat, then Allah ta'ala's servant. And when I'm out there, then I will do any kind of worldly activity. I have the right to do what I want to. No, not in Islam. In Islam, our worldly life is also very closely, in fact, it is modeled in such a way that we have the opportunity of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gaining His closeness. And my brothers, just like how in ibadat there are methods to follow, you know, a person can't do his own thing. In our worldly, mundane activities, also there are methods to follow. Everything has to be done correctly. And if a person does not do it correctly, then not only will his dunya suffer, that we know if you don't do your worldly matters properly, you can fall into so many difficulties, you know, you can fall into bankruptcy, you can fall into depression, you can fall into crime, you can get arrested, and 105 things can happen to a person. So my respected friends and brothers, even those worldly things have to be done in a proper manner and in a correct way that will not harm him and that will bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my brothers, the point that we are making is that many times, unfortunately, people, us, we destroy our akhirat. We destroy our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the expense of our dunya. And how we do that? There are many ways. One way is this, we do it at the expense of hurting our Muslim brothers. Don't hurt your Muslim brother. Don't try and acquire dunya and worldly things and abundance in dunya by hurting your Muslim brother. Because if a person does that, my respected friends and brothers, then such a person is going to suffer the consequences of loss in this world and definitely in the akhirah. Like how his ibadat will not be accepted when he done it in the wrong way, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will suffer greatly. And the way people go out of their way to hurt others at many times, they are unaware that in the acquisition of the dunya, little bit, they're just going to get little bit. But they have thrown away the whole akhirat. They have acquired a ticket into Jahannam for a little bit of worldly things. A ticket into long Jahannam, eternal Jahannam, may Allah protect us, into punishment at the expense of getting little bit of dunya. And worst, hurting a Muslim brother in the process. So my respected friends and brothers, at all times when we are, you know, confronted and we are faced with this aspect of acquiring the dunya, then we must remember that we don't separate the deen from the dunya. Many times, you know, like we say, our deen brings us closer to Allah. So many times certain dunya matters also we link it up to the deen. And now what happens is when there are certain disputes that come up from time to time, just to show how people sometimes divorce the two. So there's a dispute. Person comes to me and he says, you know, you did this wrong and that wrong. And you know, Islamically you're not supposed to do that. A business dispute. That person who you have wronged him. And he says that Islamically it's not correct for you to do it. So what I say? I say, bye, leave Islam out of this here. How often haven't we had this statement? So many times it comes to marital disputes, we say, you know what, this is wrong, what is happening here. Can we please do it the Islamic way? Can you just please leave Islam out of here? That is not the way of a Muslim, my respected friends and brothers. Our worldly life and our spiritual life are both interconnected and all are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times when a person says, okay, you know, Islamically you are supposed to do that or do it this way or that way, we will respond and say, oh, so now suddenly you are talking about Islam. Like you're doing all other wrong things, but now suddenly you're talking about Islam. We will say, yeah, there's double standards. But nevertheless, my respected friends, even there, we don't have a right to say that. We are supposed to adhere to Islam under all and every circumstance. So, my respected friends and brothers, when it comes to acquisition of worldly things, worldly possession, at that time we keep our dunya and our akhirat so closely connected that we don't overstep the bounds, and foremost of which is the bottom line of this talk here, if we don't go out of our way to hurt our Muslim brother. People go out of their way for any reason. And why they do it? Some people do it out of greed. Too much greed. Some people do it because he's selfish. Some people, they hurt their Muslim brother because they're jealous. They can't see him coming up. So they will go out of their way. And in different ways, my respected friends and brothers, they will try and hurt him. Now let us take just an example of business, where we are all involved in business. Just a random example that we are taking. And what is the institution of business? The institution of business, tijara, is such, my brothers, if it is carried out correctly, a person will be resurrected. At-tajirul amin ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada'i was-salihin. An honest businessman is going to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with the anbiya, subhanallah, with the siddiqin, the highest class of saints, with the shuhada, the martyrs, and with the pious people. Now, normally, what is business regarded as? You know, worldly, making money, people look down on it. No, if that making money is done according to the proper principles and the proper rules that have been set out in the Sharia, where a person is honest, where a person is fair, where he is just, where he is transparent, where he is not busy trying to get, you know, to the fellow down in any way. He is, and really this is mentioned, that such a person, such a businessman, his income is the purest and the most halal income. That is why he will be resurrected with such great people. Because the temptations are also there. Because man by nature is inclined towards dunya, inclined towards acquiring more, you know, we want to get more wherever we can. So because of that, sometimes if a person just restrains himself from falling into the temptation, he finds some difficulty. I could have made it. I would have really made a big, quick buck here. But then I would have hurt somebody in the process. Whatever the nature it might be. For him, having kept himself back, Allah Ta'ala is resurrecting him with the anbiya, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, and the salihin. So beautiful it is, my respected friends and brothers. And in the same way, when a person resorts to all the wrong activities and the wrong things, and as far as acquisition of his livelihood is concerned, again talking in the line of business, where he is cheating, where he is lying, where he is, you know, overrating a product, doing backdoor stuff and all those other haram activities, doing people down, pulling scams, as we will say. And then such a person, my respected friends and brothers, they say, At-tujjar ma'al fujjar. These are the business people that are going to be resurrected with the open, flagrant, audacious sinners who broke the orders and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. Who wants to be resurrected with them? So therefore we have to keep in mind, my respected friends and brothers, that while we are going to acquire, even if we have a small little acquisition, a small little door of rosy, but we're not going to hurt our Muslim brother in trying to get more. You can have an empire, my brothers. And in that empire, if it has been acquired and it is being acquired by hurting people, then, my respected friends and brothers, we got nothing. We are devoid of blessings and barakah in such a business. And another fellow has got a small roadside table, stoliki, as we say, and he's selling stuff there. But he's conducting his business with so much of Islamic rules and human principles and what is the right thing to do. He will have so much of barakah, so much of blessings in his. And people have seen this. How our forefathers came and they used to be pushing those little carts in Diagonal Street and wherever in Joburg. They tell us their stories. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them barakah. So we, when we conduct ourselves, we worry more about not hurting our Muslim brother. We worry more about, as a Muslim, that we are al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minatu ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. We are supporters and helpers of each other. We don't go out of our way to try and, you know, hurt another person and deceive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Because we are talking of business practices. Allah says, woe be to the defrauders. People carry out fraud in so many different ways in this day and age. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When they are weighing and measuring for the other people, then they demand full. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when they are weighing out for others, then they are shortchanging them. In other words, they are defrauding people. When they want to do business, they want to take more than they are supposed to take. And when they have to give others, they will try and give as less than that person, much less than what he actually, what he's supposed to get. They give much less than what he's supposed to get also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warned upon those things. So therefore, my respected friends and brothers, rozi and rizq, let us have one principle in mind. And we must have trust in Allah. It's created for us when we were created. Rozi, nobody is going to steal it. And we don't control anybody's rozi and sustenance. Allah is the controller. When Allah decided He's creating mankind and humankind and animal kind and all the different kinds of species, He already created and catered for their sustenance. So it's there. Allah says, "Nahnu narzuquk." We provide your sustenance. Meaning what? We have created your sustenance. We have already allocated it for you. It is there. All you have to do now is maybe dig the ground, plant the seed and fertilize it and let it grow. That is your effort. That is the part. But what is yours, nobody else. So we don't control, we don't try to play God, my respected friends and brothers, that at times we want to try and deprive another Muslim brother, hurt him and take away his rosy, for example. Or we hurt a Muslim brother in different ways. You know, there are so many different examples you can give. One is this we have mentioned, but I've got sole rights to sell this particular product. You tell a supplier, you don't give anybody else. Why? Because I want to make the most amount of money. Why you give that other fellow there? You mustn't give him. Why? Because he mustn't get more. So we now want to control and manipulate the rozi of other people. We don't do this. A Muslim does not do that. A Muslim believes with tawakkul, with full trust, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already allocated my rozi. I will get what I'm supposed to get. Or if we become afraid that if another fellow is opening a business near us, if we know the authorities, we try and pull a few strings this way and that way, not to give him a license or to harass him and get rid of him from there. Because he mustn't now come and make my bread hard, as we will say. No, my respected friend. Rozi is in the hands of Allah. Cutting prices. We're talking of business practices. Competition is good in business, but not to the extent where you totally do your brother down, you selling so many percent below cost, for example. You're doing it just to hurt him. This is what you're talking about. Acquisition of livelihood at the expense of hurting your Muslim brother. Muslims don't do things like that, my respected friends and brothers. Muslims care for each other. You know, we used to hear this. I've heard this incident that when it was in the good old days, in Madina Munawwara, not long time ago, many of us have seen, you know, when you go in the gullies, all those shops. Every shop in the gully, one next to the other, all selling the same stuff. And at the same price also. So one person gives his story, his incident. He says, I went to buy a certain item from a person in one of these gullies. All of them had the same stuff. The shopkeeper refused. He said, I'm not selling to you. Huh? He said, go buy from next door. Why next door? He said, I've had a few sales this morning already. This guy hasn't had one sale already. Subhan, where are those kind of Muslims? Muslim means support each other. Muslim means stand for each other. Muslim don't cut each other's throats, my respected friends. And we speak of these business practices, this wrong ones, you know. We are so casual about it. We say, right, that is the way of the world. That's how it is nowadays. Mu'mineen have to come back, my respected, to what Islam and Muslims used to do. One other fellow also in this, he says that a business, also in Madina Munawwara or Makkah, he says that his neighbor told him, I need to go somewhere. Just look after my shop. The shops are so close to each other, the fellow can just sit there in a stool in front, he can look after both shops. So, he was gone. When the customers came, they went to this guy's shop here, to the neighbor's shop. This man went and he sold from his neighbor's shop the items which he also had. And if there was some greedy fellow who wants to hurt his Muslim brother, he said, this guy is not here, come here, I will sort you out. I'll give it to you. So that is why when a person is doing a deal, there's a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يحلو لمؤمنين أن يبتاع على بي أخيه. It's not permissible for a mu'min to, you know, conduct a transaction over his Muslim brother's transaction. So if somebody made a deal, then you go from behind, you say, how much you got there? I give you less. Go return it. Muslims, don't do like that, my respected friends. We don't hurt our Muslim brothers to acquire. The barakah will be gone. We'll have that amount of money. But quick come and quick go, that is what's going to happen. So there are so many such practices. You know, poaching. Poaching of personnel. Another thing. From, say, that company, that guy got a very good, whatever company position he is holding. We need to get him and bring him to our business. At the expense of hurting him so that his business can go down. Or it doesn't go down, not our problem. This is the way of the world. We need him for our business. So we don't care if we hurt somebody else. Poaching customers. One is, you know, we're doing transaction over transaction. One is poaching customers. You know, when we were very small, we grew up in a small one-house town here down the road somewhere. Really. So at the time of Asr, there was a brother there. He used to close his shop every day. And not very far from him was another Muslim shop. And when he used to close his shop, his staff used to wait there outside, non-Muslim staff. When he used to come back after namaz, the customers should be waiting by his shop. Now, another Muslim shop was there. And that time, you know, the general dealers all were general. Everybody sold everything. All were selling the same thing. So his staff used to tell him that, you know, Lumzan, when you go away to the church, you go pray. And the customers are waiting. Those people, they're calling them here. They tell them, must come. So he said, what? He said, they don't go. They won't go. Because your rosy is already written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No need for someone to go and poach another person's customer or another person's personnel in this way, my respected friends and brothers. And in other ways also, besides business, that we've just taken business as an example where we are talking about not hurting our Muslim brothers. The same hadith which I mentioned, it goes, وَلَا يَخْطُبُ عَلَىٰ خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ حَتَّى يَذْرَىٰ. Another example. That a Muslim does not go and put a proposal on his brother's proposal until he knows that brother has left. So if you know your Muslim brother is putting a proposal somewhere in a certain family, you know about it. And what you do? You go yourself and you go and, I don't know what, pitch up there with a Ferrari maybe or with a lot of mahar or something, a smart suit and that. So that poor people also get all mixed up. They say that other guy came in such a bombed out car there. It's holes in his shoes also. So let's give our girl here. We don't do things like that. Yeah, if you didn't know, that's a different thing. But Muslims don't do this type of things. We don't do people down. We don't hurt people. We don't, you know, snatch. We don't lie. We don't cheat, especially. Not only with Muslims, even with non-Muslims. That was the legacy of Islam. In those countries where Islam was not, where the expeditions were not taking place, in Indonesia, in China, in Malaysia, how Islam spread there? The pure, clean business practices of the Muslimin. Nothing else but that. People are so impressed that these people don't hurt. They don't go out of their way to see how they are dealing with us. That's why on the day of Qiyamah, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Manil Muflis. Who is a Muflis? Who is a bankrupt? Is there a bankrupt person? Is he? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, they say, we say a bankrupt person won't have any, no, la dirham huwa la dinar. He won't have rands and cents. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no. A bankrupt person will come, يَأْتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ بِصَلَاتٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاتٍ. He'll have all these things, namaz, roza, zakat. وَيَأْتِ شَتَمَ هَذَا. But he will also come with the deeds where he swore somebody, where he lied to somebody, where he did somebody else down, where he slandered, وَقَذَفَ هَذَا. And he slandered somebody, and he took away somebody's wealth. And in this way, all his deeds are going to be taken and given to the people whom he had wronged. And then, if he still runs short of deeds, their bad deeds are going to be thrown onto him. Hatta tariha alayhi wa tariha finnar. Then he's going to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. That is a bankrupt person. So my respected friends and brothers, our rosy is written there. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is foremost. We don't only confine our relationship to Allah ta'ala on the ibadat and the musalla and the masjid and the itikaf and the sunnah, whatever we're doing. Every opportunity that we get, wherever we can, we try and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in our mundane worldly activities, we try and come closer to Allah, do things in the way, in the correct way. And what we don't do is, we don't try and hurt somebody, we don't try and take away somebody else's rosy, we won't take it away, obviously, we won't get it right. We don't go out of our way to hurt our Muslim brother at the expense of our akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa ma'anah.